If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS connects you with podcasts, videos, and live experiences about the artists and topics you love. Visit OSIRISPod.com to check out our shows. In fact, you should check out No Simple Road or Inside Out with Turner and Seth. Both are great shows. OSIRIS works in partnership with Jambase, which connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. For more, check them out at jambase.com. The show starts now.
My name is Junior, from Memphis, Tennessee. My daddy was a hustler and a stranger to me. I don't always know just what to say. Now listen, do I look familiar? Kind of way. Will I remember you dancing on the floor? I remember you walking out the door. You had a red dress on and some high heels. I remember you. You had a margarita, I had a beer. I wondered what a woman like you was doing way down here. You tore my heart apart the moment. Never forget, and I remember you dancing on the floor. I remember you walking out the door. You had a red dress on and some high heel shoes. Remember me, but I remember you. Well, maybe I was just a number of things without a name. Now and then I wonder, will I ever be the same? I remember you. Walking out the door.
You've been listening to I Remember You off of Kepmo's forthcoming release, Oklahoma, due out June 14th. We've long admired this crafty guitar-playing bluesman who is equally adept at both acoustic and electric blues guitar, but his real appeal is in his songwriting and storytelling. Oklahoma marks his 18th album by my count and is likely his best yet, which is saying something given that he has won multiple Grammys and most recently released an album with roots music icon Taj Mahal. So you can imagine my absolute thrill to get the opportunity to chat with Kepmo. Our conversation, while mostly focused on Oklahoma, did bounce around from politics to the environment and much more. A lot, I'd say, like the themes of Oklahoma, which are deeply personal, but certainly shareable moments. Our conversation on this day started when I asked Keb if he preferred playing acoustic or electric music, since he handles both so capably.
Well, I don't even look at it like which one I prefer. I like both of them. They're both fun for different reasons. Mm-hmm. But what I like most of all is the musical, the cohesive musical experience and songwriting. You know, songwriting and being at some point I realized that I wasn't going to be a guitar whiz, you know, because if I was going to be a whiz, I would have been one already. You know,
yeah. I don't agree, but so okay.
I mean, like when you look at a Tommy Emmanuel or a Joe Satriani or a George Benson or somebody like that, you know, like, those are guitar whizzes, you know. But my skill is different. I have a different soul. So the big question for me is, who am I? What am I? You know, in music. And when I really looked close, I'm a songwriter and a communicator. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And I use the guitar to help me push those forward. And I think my experience with the instrument so thus far has put me in a spot where I can. Well, that's my best bet. That's my deal, you know. And I became very comfortable with that. And then my guitar playing became good, I think, because of the way I was using the guitar. Not for my skill, but the way I was using the skills I had to, you know, do that.
I would say that you, because of all of the different ways that you play, both acoustic and electric, and because it becomes synonymous with the stories you tell and the lyrics of your work, I would say you're definitely a guitar wizard at this point. Let's talk about some of those socio-political messages that are in this record and so important. And I guess we should start really with Oklahoma, because it is a flashpoint for much of the discussion on this record, whether it be politics, Native American discussions, race discussions. I think Oklahoma really does sum up that song, really does sum up all of the parts very nicely.
I think Oklahoma is chock full of goodies.
Yes, indeed. But that's a song that you had to bring Dara Tucker in to sort of help you, right, convey the message and what you were feeling about Oklahoma. Because you had been there for a benefit in 2013 with Kenny Wayne just before, I guess, the hurricane. And
After the tornado.
After the tornado. And it was there that you started to think about it. And what did Dara bring to the table in terms of songwriting and helping you bring the messages of that song to the fore?
Well, she brought authenticity to the idea, because prior to meeting her, I had been working on this song idea that was kind of pretty much already set, you know, the title was laid down. And I called it Oklahoma because that's what it felt like, even though I had no reference point, very little, only just my trip to Oklahoma after the tornado. Mm-hmm. My only reference point to Oklahoma, you know. And so I didn't feel like really I had enough. And when she came in, she was from Oklahoma, and I didn't know that she was from Oklahoma when I sat down to write with her. And I said, okay, well, here we go. I got somebody from Oklahoma to write this song with. And we got in, and we start comparing notes about the history of Oklahoma. What is Oklahoma? What is important about Oklahoma? And why is Oklahoma special? And why doesn't the whole country, the whole world, know how special that place is? You know, not special in a way where it's like it's all goody two shoes, but in a way that Oklahoma has had challenges, you know, and it's a place of greatness comes out of there, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you got her, you got tornadoes blowing through that place, you know, you got the Trail of Tears, you got the relationship with, like, you know, cowboys and Indians, you got the Wild Wild West, you have Black Wall Street, Greenwood, Archer and Pine, you know, the atrocity that went there. And then you have the Oklahoma bombing, you know, you have the Oklahoma, you know, the University School, you know, there was a chance in there, OKLAHOMA, Oklahoma, you know, everything is gone, you know, that there. And then you have, at the end, this somber, you have the prayer at the end where Robert Randolph comes in and plays the Sacred Steel. And that's, to me, it's a saga, you know, with the violin solo in the middle, you know, to celebrate, you know, the bluegrass, you know, side of Oklahoma, you know.
Right.
And, you know, so it's about, and Oklahoma is a metaphor for the world or the United States. It's like everywhere is Oklahoma.
Right. You know?
Everywhere has challenges. Everywhere has history.
How did you decide to add Robert to that track? I mean, it's, you know, so moving, as moving as the rest of the song, and he's such an amazing talent. Did you know right away that that was something that you wanted to do? Is that something that Colin suggested you do? How did you add Robert to that piece?
I added the track to Robert. Mm. You know? I didn't that because I was on the fence about the song. Once the song was written, I wasn't convinced that it was for this record.
Right.
You know, I wasn't convinced. But I was working on another record, and the Colin wasn't there that day. I went over and I put Robert on there. You know, so I was there, and I was working on G Love's record. You know, and Robert was there doing some on his track, and I said, man, I'd love to have you on my record, but I couldn't think of anything. I didn't have anything to put him on, you know, mm-hmm. that really fit. But I had this Oklahoma song that I was on the fence about. And so I pulled it out and listened to it and talked about the song with Robert, what it was, and, you know, talked about Greenwood, Archer and Pine and the significance of it. And then, so I had it, like a vocal guitar demo that I put down. So I just had Robert play on the ride out, you know?
Well, it all worked out for sure.
Yeah, and then the next day I said, oh, good Lord, this is great. So next day I called some guys and we finished the track, you know? And it was just like, wow. And so, and the thing that knocked it over the edge for me in terms of putting it on the record, and what became really important is when I put the violin on there, the violin solo.
Right.
It was like, I went, oh my God, this thing. I felt like the song called me. You know what I mean? I felt like I got picked to showcase this idea because none of it, we get picked for a song, you know? And I was really following my spirit. I was really following my instincts on the Oklahoma idea. I could have just thrown it out when I just, you know, said, but then in walks Derek Tucker saying, okay, where are you from? Oklahoma. Oh my God. You know? So all along the way, and then it becoming going from on the fence to like maybe just an idea to the title track of the record, you know, I just felt it was just a special piece of music. And then when Robert hits me in and he does that, but that's like we're all going to church.
Yes.
And now we're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray
yes.
for our great nation and our great world, you know, so.
You know. It's amazing. But you know, even though you have a great nation, it is going through some tough times, and
yes.
The record is filled with, as I mentioned off the top, some pretty important socio-political messages, and one of them is immigration, and this is my home, and yes. I think it's really important that it's a topic that's discussed, not necessarily on the news with the hyperbole and the rhetoric, but you know, it's an opportunity, I think, to talk about the people who are involved and who've made the United States their home from wherever they've come from. How important was it for you to write that song and add it to this record in this time?
It was important because, you know, when you talk about a wall, it's such an arrogant conversation.
Right.
And it's such a degrading, you know, thing to talk about to the people of Mexico, and everyone, and the common thing is about people that aren't even from here. It's like, yeah. None of us are from here, you know. And there's more Native North Americans in Mexico than probably than here, simply because when Spain came to Mexico and saying Mexico, and people started speaking Spanish, you know. If you've ever been to Spain, those are Europeans.
Right.
You know? So the Native American population, I think, blended into and adjusted to the European conquest, as it were, of Mexico and a lot of parts of the United States, California, Texas. You know? And so to come here and for anyone, me or anyone, to take it to Canada too, it's like there's the natives from Canada, is so arrogant, and I didn't want to call anybody out,
you know? Right?
But in the story, I'm kind of calling everybody out, you know.
Yeah,
you know that the land belongs to no one. Basically, we're all the lands here for all to see. And when you go down to somewhere like New Zealand. And you go to places where, you know, there's been a European influx. And but you look at how they, you know, how you treat the indigenous people who live there, says a lot about the character of the people of the nation. You know, whether the Maori population is highly regarded and respected.
Right. Yes.
You know, and why aren't we respecting the Native population here in North America like they do in other places? You know, we should be revering them and asking them for their wisdom and preserving that. And you know, so in my opinion, and I put the last verse, to me, is my big, you know, reminder. I would call it a slap in the face, but it's a reminder of what the African-American community, you know, contributed, and what the Latino people are contributing to America. They're here and they're doing all the work. We don't even work anymore. You know? They're doing all the work. They're nice. They're wonderful people. And I have many Mexico people that come from Mexico and Central America. They're just the most kind and great character of anybody I've met. You know. So I don't know what Trump is talking about. Really.
Adding Jackie Velasquez to the track too, and the backing vocals certainly, you know, hits the mark and brings that point home when people think about when people learn about who she is and what she's about. It certainly ties that all up as well.
Yeah, I had a very interesting thing about her putting it on. It was great because she's friends with my wife because our kids go to school together. You know?
Yeah.
So she asked her to come over and sing, and she's like, of course, you know? And she brought a lot to it. And it's, what more perfect person to sing that song, you
of
know?
Of course. Of course, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Don't Throw It Away is, while it is a fun song, it is not a fun subject.
It's not a fun song. No.
Well, you know, it's playful. Let's put it. It's not a fun song, and the message isn't fun, obviously. But I think the song is playful, and Taj probably adds a lot to the playfulness of the song. But the environment is so. You know, whether you live in the United States or you live here in Canada or you live anywhere in the world, we are doing a disservice to future generations by the way we are dealing with plastic, by the way we're dealing with the air that we breathe, by the way we're dealing with our environment more generally. That's an important topic for you, right?
Yeah, and we've been dealing with that topic for a long time. I mean, like, by now, according to the predictions of the 70s, we should be gone by now.
Right.
The oil should be all gone, you know, and we're still here, and it's still a big issue. You know, rainforests, carbon footprint in the world, and all the technology. We love all the technology and our computers and our stuff, and we love this thing called Bitcoin, people are talking about it, it's a huge carbon footprint, you know, too.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we do that's supposed to be so great for us is a big double-edged sword, you know, and we're so quick, before we even know what the consequences are, we just go forth, you know, because it's going to be good for the economy,
right.
It's going to be good for business, you know, and just... And then when we figure out that it's not good for business, we don't fix it. We just keep on going because we don't want to upset the economy.
Right.
It's like, wow. We're pretty dumb. Collectively. As smart as we are, we're equally dumb.
Well, you know? It's interesting because you talk about... regrets, and I should have, and I don't know if it's regrets or it's see, I'm a masterful segue, like masterfully segued into this. I don't know if it's about regrets or it's about living a genuine life, the best life, and just letting the cards kind of fall as they may.
It's all of that.
Yeah.
It's the regret, and then it's the celebration of the outcome.
Right.
You know, and you can apply it to anything. Like, say, like, I think sometimes, like, what if I'd have done this instead of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What if I'd have became a gardener instead of a musician, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What if I'd have married that other girl? What if I'd been still with that, you know? What if I'd have went to college?
Right.
You know? All the what ifs, you know, and then I put it in terms of girls in a relationship, you know, but you can think of anything. It's like, so in the last verse, I go like, you know, if I had to stay with Susie, I wouldn't have you,
right.
You know? And, you know, so all your mistakes and all your perceived experience lead you to your true self in a sense, you know,
right. Your destiny as it were.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't run from it.
Blues music has long, almost since day one, has been associated with love and relationships. And Cold Outside is certainly one of those songs.
Yeah.
And I think we've all gone through it. I think if you're a man or a woman, you've felt that distance and that frigidness. And that, I don't know what I'm doing here. I used to know what I was doing here. I don't know what I'm doing here anymore. How important is the theme of love to blues? And this notion that, you know, relationship is so critical to blues music.
Well, there's a lot, I think, and I don't know much about this subject, but a lot of blues jargon came from field hollers, you know?
Right.
They don't mean what they mean, and they don't... I hear it, and maybe you hear it too, like a love story, but a lot of it came from, like, code words from the Underground Railroad,
mm-hmm.
and the way the slaves would talk to each other in code, so that the overseer and people wouldn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
You know, songs and things. And I don't know how important the actual love thing is to the blues because it was involved, and I don't know, and I need more study on it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, when I look back to those code words, the way what it was really meant when they were saying those things, like someone told me once, like John Tavis Willis, who I'm going to throw with, about hush puppies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a hush puppy was a code word for like when they would like give these little treats to dogs and to poison the dogs to keep the dogs from barking when they
were
to go. You know?
Yeah.
There's all this code stuff that comes into the food and the culture of the blues and the church and all that stuff that came out of that stuff. So the blues was a way to communicate always. It was a way to get the message over.
Uh-huh.
Music in general, the way to... And I think I like to use it in the spirit of what it was back then, a way to get the message across, like you know, don't throw it away.
Right.
You know? I'm using this blues genre as a way to get the message out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should have, you know, just fun, you know.
Yes.
Everything to me should have a purpose. Every song should have a purpose. It should engage you, and it should be fun or comforting to listen to, whether it's sad or happy or whatever, you know.
Well, one song that certainly will have a purpose, and it's a beautiful duet with your wife.
Yeah.
I mean, if beautiful music isn't played at every wedding from now till the time both of us are done on this planet, there's a problem, because it is just a beautiful song, and you're... lovely wife puts in an outstanding performance, to say nothing of yours.
No, she's great. She's a singer now. Everybody drops their jaw when they hear her sing.
Yeah.
Once they hear her sing, they pretty much don't care anything about me. I don't like it.
Right. But how did you write the song? Did you write the song together? How, I know that you collaborate in business and in life.
With John Lewis Parker, one of my favorite writing partners, with who I've been writing with since the 70s,
uh-huh.
You know, we wrote it together, and the song was, it was, we also wrote The Old Me Better, you know?
Yeah.
And from the Blues Americana record, and song seemed to go fast with us, because he comes in with this, like, he had the idea of we make beautiful music together, and I was like, oh man, that's great, and I'll just go in and start telling him my truth, you know, and he's as much as a great writer as a great muse for me, you know what I mean? Because we know each other so long. We know so much about, you know, our lives. Like back when I lived in Compton, and when we played with Papa John Creech together, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And he went on to write some big hits of his own too, you know what I mean? You know, during the time I was struggling. So, you know, he's a really important figure in my whole thing. So the song was like Owe Me Better. When you got a great idea like that, you know what you're saying, it was under 30 minutes and the whole thing was done.
Wow.
You know, it writes itself, you know, it just, you know, we didn't touch it, didn't change a word, you know? And a lot of those songs like that.
And just adding...
Beautiful music like was a song that was left off the Blues Americana record.
Uh-huh.
You know? I don't think when I got done with the record, it didn't fit, it wasn't time for it, and I hadn't quite figured out how to present it yet. Originally, it had a band on it,
Yes.
playing.
Yeah.
And so, if you listen to it closely in the end, you know there's like a really light drums in the end?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was bleed from the string section from the headphones. That we couldn't get out, you know?
Yeah.
So I just put a little bit of the drums back in there to make it sound intentional.
Oh, it's like I said, if it's not played at every wedding till mm-hmm. the day I leave this planet, or that, you know, the two of us leave this planet, DJs or wedding bands don't know what's up mm-hmm. because it's a gorgeous song. I think song.
It's pretty cool. We have to contend with John Legend, though, with his All of Me, All of You.
So. Yeah, fair enough.
We've got some stiff competition there.
I wouldn't be doing my national duty if I didn't ask about Colin Linden helping you out on this record and producing this record.
Colin Linden has been my friend for the last 24 years, you know?
Yeah.
I met Colin Linden in Houston, Texas. He was playing with Bruce Coburn
right.
at a venue. And I walked in. I happened to be in the place. I don't know where I was. And I met Colin. And we became friends right away. He's such a cool dude. And we stayed friends. And he moved to Nashville years ago. And then I really ended up moving there, too. Mm-hmm. And also, Colin Linden and I wrote, we co-wrote one of the my most popular songs, which is Life is Beautiful.
Yes. You know?
And it's a kind of a corny kind of little thing, but man, I have to play it at every show. It's one of those songs that you cannot get out the room without playing Life is Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so there's a thing with Colin that's so groovy. Our friendship, and it was equally as much as wanting his input and his creativity on the record, mm-hmm. I just wanted to hang with him.
Right.
You know? You know?
Yeah.
I just wanted to hang with him. So, hey, right. Come to this hang. We get to hang. And it was just fantastic, I got to say. You know? And there's a lot of places where, you know, we're very different, you know, for musically. Sure. Of what we think and stuff, so there was kind of like, well, I want to do this with him. Oh no, like, so it's, but it was just a really beautiful collaboration, you know, and the result of it, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, it's a great record. If it doesn't get nominated, I mean, we're not going to. You know, kiss your butt and tell you how amazing you are. The public knows that already, and certainly you have been awarded and credited with so many great achievements. I think that Oklahoma definitely fits right up there at the top. So, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for a gorgeous record, and thanks for beautiful music. I just need to find a woman now that I can sing that song to, and we'll. We'll be all set.
Yeah. Sing every morning to her.
Yeah. Well, first I have to meet her, but once I meet her, I will.
Yeah. That's a good. That's been known as the Rock. The Rock uses tell everybody I know. Not that he needs my help.
Right. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Ira, thank you so much, man. I appreciate the great interview. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That indeed was the great Kep Mo, and I am so grateful for the time he spent with us. He's a fascinating musician with so many great stories, not only about his career, but indeed about life more generally. All of that certainly comes through on Oklahoma. He certainly is an American treasure, just like one of his heroes, Taj Mahal. For more on Keb, you can visit his website at kebmo.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another great track off of Oklahoma, again due out June 14th. Here is the very poignant This Is My Home.
A man arrived from Pakistan. they raised a beautiful family. Taught them all their history. They know this is where they belong. This is their home. This is where they belong. My people came over from sacrificed and they paid the price. So I can live this wonderful life. And I know this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.